Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Good day, sunshine.
Good morning, sunshine. 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on and tuned in to House Smarts Radio with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine.
Good morning. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio here on 720 WGN. This hour of our show is sponsored by Ace Hardware, Design First Builders, and by the Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace Company. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Phone lines are open. If there's anything I can help you with this morning that you're working on, that you need some advice on, you just want to chit-chat and talk, pick up the phone and give us a call. A little bit later on this morning, I'm excited about this. We talked last week. You know, we are here at the in our new studios overlooking the river and right where the lake connects to the river coming in. And I was looking out there at how beautiful it is. And it is a gorgeous morning today with that sun shining in. We're going to talk this morning to Richard Lanyon, who is the former executive director of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District and an authority on drainage of the Chicago area, which is kind of cool. I'm really interested to talk about the river. And my wife and I had a chance a couple of maybe 3-4 weeks ago. We took one of the architectural river tours. I think I spoke about it on the radio. It was just delightful. And the improvements to the river is great. If you live in the city or the suburbs and you have not done this for a while, I highly recommend that you do it. And, I mean, my wife and I and our family, we've lived in Chicago, you know, most of our, my wife her entire life. And for me, most of my adult life. And it's just amazing the changes that have happened to that riverfront. And it's such a vital part, has such a rich history here in Chicago. So we're going to learn a little more together coming up after 8:30 this morning. And good morning to you, Joe Brand. Aren't you going out to an Xfinity store today, later today?
I will be at Berwyn at 7040 Cermak Road from 11 to 1:30 with Tim Anderson.
I love that. Really? Now, I'm assuming that you're like getting your internet for free at this point, right? Have we worked out that deal yet?
I'm just up to a landline right now, but hopefully now I'll get the full bundle. We'll see.
That's very fun. That's cool to be with Tim Anderson.
Yeah, he's one of the White Sox stars. Boy, did you see, he made a throw from shallow left yesterday. He's the shortstop, and he was in shallow left, about 10, maybe 15 feet, almost like a Derek Jeter-like toss. He's on a tear right now. He's got a 10-game hitting streak.
It's fun. I know that he gets a lot of, you know, he's not the atypical baseball
guy. He's a little
edgy. But I like that.
Exactly.
And the game needs a little, it needs a little more personality, right? They're trying to do a little bit of what the NBA does with all these personalities, and I don't know. I mean,
I don't mean to use the term edgy in a negative context, because he's that little White Sox swagger that a lot of fans relate to and resonate with and really need, because this team is up on the rise with all their entertainment, and Tim Anderson's the guy that's going to go out with White Sox in his chest and go and support it.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a game today?
There is. They're hosting Texas again at 6:10.
Oh, okay, so he's coming to do that little appearance before that and then heading to the ballpark.
How about him, huh? Double duty.
I like that. Very nice. I'm going to go today to the Cubs game with my wife and our sons, which will be nice today.
You've got a jam-packed Saturday.
It is a very busy Saturday.
I don't understand how you do it.
Sting later, and
How do you do it?
And then our neighbors, the Rices, are celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary.
What are they going to throw?
What do you mean?
Good one.
Ba-dum-bump.
Ba-dum-bump.
He's good.
Hey, Joe Brand.
Yes.
I saw a cute picture of you this week.
Uh-oh.
Lou, I just happened to send it to you on your phone.
Oh, is this...
So if you go to WGNradio.com, you can see the 2019 back to school photos from.
Wow.
Wow. Like,
is that where they got the idea for the Swiffer? Holy smoke.
Ba-dum-bum.
Wow. That is a head of hair right there.
I'm thinking about bringing it back. We'll
I
see.
Like it.
Wow.
It's very Bieber.
It almost looks like a shaker. You know what a shako is? It's a type of hat they used to wear in a marching band, which it kind of like that furry hat that goes up and over the top. That's what it looks
like. What the British guards wear?
Yeah.
I mean, I get the term helmet. I do.
Wow.
But.
Yeah. That's
a, I think it's so cute.
I think other than the fact that you almost look the same.
And look at your like puppy dog eyes. You're so cute.
That's what I was going for.
Mm-hmm. Working it.
Cute in British guard.
Right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Beverly in Palos Heights. Beverly, good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
How can I help you?
I have what I refer to as a trellis fence. It's about 6 foot tall and has 4 6-foot wide sections. I have vines and things growing up over it in the summer.
Okay.
This year, because of all of the water we had in the spring rain, it's full of moss or mildew, and I need to clean that off and restain it. The original stain was Elkid, Morguard, and the last time it was done was 2011. And so my problem is, I'd like to use something like wet and forget, but would that harm the plants beneath it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait. You said there's, so is there ivy, you said there's like ivy and plants growing up the fence or at the base of it?
No, at the base and up the fence. So there are perennials at the base and then not ivy, but flowering vines growing up the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And how, it is.
And how much coverage do you have? In other words, if I'm looking at one of the fence panels, is every panel have like the flowering vines on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you can't use wet and forget because you'll kill those vines.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I'm looking at a fence panel, Beverly, what percentage of the panel is covered by the flowering vines?
On two of the panels, it's almost fully covered. It's Sweet Autumn Clematis, which is a very aggressive vine, beautiful in the fall mm-hmm. when it flowers, mm-hmm. but it's large. On the other two panels, maybe only 40%, and they are Clematis also.
Yeah. I mean, your only choice to restain this thing in order to, you know, so if the focus is to stain it, is
yes.
you have to pull all those vines down.
Okay.
You need to expose the fence, and then probably the better way to do this would be to have someone pressure wash it, because I would still be concerned with using a wet and the wet and forget. If you know, in other words, if you hose it down, the flowers and everything down, and then you apply it, it will work. But the fact that you have so much vegetation there, I would, you know, the risk of it harming that is, you know, you really have to be concerned. And then you'd have to put the vines back on, which won't, you know, you won't have the same look. When you start peeling that stuff away, you're going to break it and you're going to, go ahead.
What I can do is cut them down for this year. That isn't that much of a concern. They'll grow back because they're that hardy.
Do you cut them down every fall
yeah,
and winter? Oh, you do. Oh,
yeah.
so when
but,
I get
but
to
it's
when
late
I get
in the fall,
right? But so when I get to October, I see the whole fence.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm going to back off everything I just said.
Okay.
I want you to cut everything back when you're ready to cut it all back.
Yep.
Spray all the vegetation on the ground with water. Spray the fence with wet and forget, okay?
Okay.
For the fall. And if you did that, let's say, do you typically cut it back in October?
Yeah.
You could do this, and then you could still stain the fence in November.
Okay.
And then you're ready to go for the winter and the spring.
Perfect. And is there a, it has Elkid stain now. Is there a particular stain that would be
So I really, you know, I like this product called Penifin, which is a terrific rosewood oil-based stain. But on a vertical fence, I was just talking to Colin, Mike Stevens' producer, before the show, and he's going to do a fence. And you can use really any good quality oil stain on a fence because it's a vertical surface. And so if you wanted to use a product like Flood or Cabot, something like that, that's fine. Okay. I would just do oil base. Once it's clean, we get rid of all that moss, mold, and mildew. Use the wet and forget on there. I think what I would do is not, they have this product called the Rapid Application Hose End, but I think for what you're doing, you want a little more precision. I would buy the traditional bottle of wet and forget.
Okay.
Use it in a pump sprayer and follow the directions of the mix of the wet and forget and the water, and use the pump sprayer so you can really have control to apply it to the fence, and you'll see amazing results in a month.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
You know what it is. House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Karen's in Wheaton. Hi, Karen. You are on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a quick question for you, but I need to give you a little background information. This involves floor finishing. Now, we moved into our home back in 2016, and once they peeled away the carpets, we asked the company to come in and refinish the flooring, expecting that it was going to be polyurethane. It turns out after the fact that they ended up using instead some sort of synthetic material. It's actually, the brand is called Syntenko, S-Y-N-T-E-K-O.
Yep.
And so now what's happened since then, we recently had a doorway that was widened, and so they had to put additional hardwood flooring in there to make up the difference where the wood, where the wall was shifted.
Right.
So I've got this little area that's like 4x4 or so, and I've got it stained, but I need to put a finish on it. And I was reading that for the Syntenko finish that you can't mix or have the traditional polyurethane go over that. So is there another finish? And because we no longer have, we were never left with that chemical, and so
who either sells that
or what options do I have for trying to match and provide the proper finish?
So that Syntenko product is a highly flammable, super commercial product that I have never been a huge fan of, because, and the only reason why is that, you know, the app, when they put the application down, you have to like leave the house and they have to put respirators on, and you know, you got to shut all the anything that has a flame in the house because it's highly flammable. And quite frankly, I've always sort of put some of the good waterborne finishes that go down on flooring against it, and it's so much less harmful. Now, let me ask you this. The floor is stained. The other part of the floor has the finish on it, but is the basically what has to be finished, is it a line with a board, or did they scrape away some of the finish from the existing board?
In other words,
if you were just going to go at it with a brush and you were like, I just need to put the finish over this thing and it'll match, is that what it looks like?
Fundamentally, it looks to me like maybe they might have sanded a little bit of the surrounding area,
right.
But basically.
Okay. All I want you to do is get a whatever finish you have, probably a semi-gloss, just get a waterborne finish and apply it to the floor. It will match. I would probably start with a satin first as a setting coat. And are you going to do this? You're going to have someone do it?
Oh, no. I'll do it myself.
Okay. So buy a, like Bonakemi makes really good waterborne finishes, okay? But you can also do Varathane that you can get at the hardware store. For what you're doing, it would work fine. I would buy a little pint of the satin finish first, use a foam brush and put it down on top of it, and use that as the setting coat of it. When that dries, take a little steel wool and knock it down so it's nice and smooth. And then put another coat of satin on there and see where the finish lies. In other words, when it dries, how does that look against the other part that you have? If you notice it's not shiny enough, then put one coat of semi-gloss over the top of that. See where the finish lies. And if you need it to be shinier, knock it down again with the steel wool and put another coat of semi on there, and you'll match the finish, and only you will know.
Oh, great. And
well,
so
wait. I'm going to know, too.
So you will.
Yeah, I will.
But you won't know where it's at. So if you come
correct.
Up,
well, you did tell me it was an opening, so I'm very observant.
Yes, I did. Right. So one question then for you, will it be as durable as had it been completely finished on the first go?
In my opinion, yes. I mean, that product is a commercial product that was developed for like shopping malls and places like that, where there's a ton of traffic. I mean, unless you're, you know, having baseball games at your house, you'll never know the difference.
Okay, great. Right. Thank you so much, Lou. Really appreciate the help.
It's my pleasure.
Most people love the weekends. A little R&R, time with the family, maybe some celebrating. Unless you have a to-do list around the house a mile long. How do I find...
When do I need to...
I don't know what to do.
Hey, you only know what you know. And what you don't know, maybe Lou does.
I'm not that smart, but I'm no dummy.
Give him a call with any of your home improvement questions. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, 312-981-7200. I haven't been to Ravinia in forever. My wife and I have never... I used to go as a kid because I grew up in Highland Park and Highwood, so we used to go all the time. And tonight we're going to go see...
Sting! Der Stinglehoffer! Making copies! The McStingster! Stingatola! Sting! Sting-a-ling-a-ding-ding-ding-dong-dong!
Does anybody remember that? No? No one.
Rob Schneider, right?
Right, but do you remember? I mean, so when my wife said, hey, well, let's go to Ravinia, Sting is there. That is the first thing that came into my head, right? That thing from... When was that bit on SNL? You know what year that was? I know, and I'm going to tell you. 1987.
Ooh.
Joe Brand.
Are you sure?
Wow.
Uh-huh.
This
I'm pretty
is
sure.
Aired well.
What?
This is 91, but whatever.
Oh, is it? Oh.
You seem pretty
but still,
proud about 87. Sold.
I was pretty proud of me. Okay, 91. It's within a few years.
Oh, see, so I was around then. I remember it now.
Sting, making copies. Oh, my God, that's
Sting.
Funny.
Der Stinglehoffer. Making copies. The McStingster. Stingatola. Sting. Sting-a-ling-a-ding-ding-ding-dong-dong.
Anyway, hopefully he'll bring that back. Maybe Rob Schneider will be there tonight at Ravinia. So 312-981-7200 is our phone number.
Or your poor wife. She's
my poor,
hear it all
my
night
poor wife.
From
I'm,
you.
I'm getting a text right. Sting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ding-ding-ding-ding. This is Steve in Aurora. Hey, Steve, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning, Lou. Thanks for taking this here call.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling for my brother because he doesn't do radio call stuff.
Got it.
He has an old... If it was in Chicago, it would be a bungalow. There's three of them in a row, all brick. Well, the birds are attacking the grout on his garage and his house.
The mortar?
To the mortar. To the point, he's got to get tuck point done.
Wow.
And they're also going after the garage. He called the insurance company, and they said, believe this or not, that they only cover stuff like bears and moose, something like that, because they... break into houses out west and go after food. they would not cover birds right. Attacking his grout.
I love it. I love that it's a bear and a moose. That's great.
Yeah, I think it's a moose. I know it's a bear, but any ideas? He sprayed ammonia and vinegar, the chili pepper spray. They don't have any taste, I guess, it through their mouths.
Right. They don't. The chili pepper won't work for them. It works for like squirrels and whatnot because they don't have that.
Right.
Now, a couple things that he can try is they're just crazy, these birds, right? We need to redirect them. That's what it is. I mean, there's nothing in that mortar. I don't know why they're going after that unless it's the saltpeter.
I thought it was like a chicken. They need the stone for the gizzards to digest.
It could be. It could be that's what they're using. Here's what I would have him try first. Bonide makes a product called Repels All, okay?
Yep.
And it's a spray that stinks to high heaven, Steve. And I would have him spray that on the wall first and see if that's effective. Have him spray it on there, see if within, you know, he's going to know within 24 hours if they're staying away from it. And then what I would tell him to do is spray that maybe every 3 days or so. And once you get them redirected, meaning they're going somewhere else, they shouldn't come back.
The neighbor's house.
Well, they might. But if that works, then we're golden, right? That's great. If not, the other thing that he can try is we need to dissuade them by doing this. Now, the fact that it's brick is a little bit more involved, but if he takes some fishing line and creates kind of a loose web.
Oh, yeah. Sure, I've heard you talk about this before.
Off of the wall. And, you know, he could take some like little masonry nails and go right into the mortar, you know, and kind of make a little crisscross so that it's a little bit away from the brick.
Right.
Just enough so that they see it and they don't want to get tangled in it.
Right, like the cedar houses.
Correct. And so it should have the same effect. But I bet that the Repels All will work.
Now, we're talking about a garage and a house. So is that something that you can buy, like lawn fertilizer, and put in a jar on the end of your hose and spray on?
No.
It's direct. It's direct 100%, not anything that's diluted.
No, right. It's a spray bottle, and so.
So what about a Hudson sprayer?
Yeah, you could do that. Sure, you could buy. Okay. I believe
it won't eat the gaskets.
No. I believe you can actually buy it in. You know that it should be available in gallon jugs. I don't know that it's most stores, most retail stores probably don't carry it in gallon jugs, but you could probably get it. You know, online or at an online source in a gallon jug. But if you went to a local hardware store, you could get a couple of them to see and you know, to try it out.
Sure.
I would try it out on the garage first. Let's before he goes and makes a huge investment, spray it on the garage because that I'm assuming it's just a single story, right? And then
actually, it's like one and a half.
Okay.
Well, the upstairs on the house is like a great big attic.
Right.
There's a lot you can stand up there, and it could be one or two kids' huge bedroom up there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the floor is finished, but not the ceiling.
Got it. Yeah. Try the garage first. See that with the Repels All, and then try the fishing line after that.
Okay. Now, what about the fact they're going after the roof grout too on the shingles? They're taking that stone as well. Too.
Yeah, I mean, if he can spray that up there as well, that would be helpful too. And then maybe we do have to go with the Hudson sprayer initially to see if that works.
Okay.
Same thing. We need to distract them, and that odor, it does a really good job, and I think that might work for them.
Okay. Well, I'd get rid of his squirrels too because they're a pain in the ass.
Yes, they will. Come on, morning show. Lots of nice kids. Thanks so much for calling. 7:46 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
You know the age-old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
We have old windows, so the cat runs.
But if it is broke, you can always call Lou.
I have a storm door with a screen rip. Could that be replaced?
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Lightning and the thunder.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. A belated happy birthday to producer extraordinaire Lindsay Smithwick, who just celebrated a birthday. We had a lovely dinner last night, the Manfredinis and the Smithwicks. Where did we go to dinner?
A place called A Boyer in Winnetka.
It was really good.
A amazing.
Yeah, and it's like an interesting thing where it's like four different restaurants in one.
Three different restaurants in one, and they're all different scales.
Right.
We were at the most casual scale, I guess, which was shocking to me because
it wasn't super casual.
No, I know, but that's what your wife described it as. It was like the, I think there's different, the fancy one is.
Yeah, and the chef is a listener.
But it was I can't even believe it was like the lower end of the three restaurants because it was so good. Like I'm eating the cheese, the sexy mushroom cheese right now with a spoon.
What do you call that board? Charcuterie?
Charcuterie.
It was all this amazing cheese and bread and a little date spread with some macadamia nuts too. It was so good. Don't tell
macadamia.
Seattle.
It was like the.
Don't tell Seattle.
I know. Shh.
Don't tell her.
You really didn't eat much, though.
I didn't. No, I'm all about the portion control, right? I
mean, yeah.
And but anyway, it was delicious. If you're looking for a great spot and you want to take Lindsay out for her birthday, you're available, right? It's a whole birthday month.
Absolutely.
Which is almost over. So happy birthday.
Thank you. It was lovely.
We had a lovely time. Thank you. What was the name of the restaurant?
A Boyer.
A Boyer. It's on Green Bay Road. Yeah. In Winnetka, make reservations right now.
I think it used to be the old Michael's.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. They did a really nice job. The service was terrific. And I had the perfect Manhattan, as it's called, which was a generous pour. That's all I'm going to say. It was delicious. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Mary in Mokena. Hi, Mary. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Will. I have a question concerning cultured marbles. We have a vanity, a big long vanity with a sink, and we also have another smaller one. But around the drain, I've tried CLR, I don't know how to get it out of there, and I don't know if I ever can.
Is it you mean you have stains down there?
Well, just right around the drain, maybe water has sat there or something. Yeah. I don't know, but it's been years, that we've had the cultured marble.
Right.
But how can we get rid of those?
The thing that happens there, in particular with the cultured marble. Okay, so cultured marble is not a refinishable product. It's not like a Corian, and in particular where the drain goes. You have the finish on the top, and then the edge of it is where, right where that drain is, that's where you can get some of that staining, and it's probably actually from the plumber's putty that is used to set the drain, and then over time, that's what gets the stain there. Your only real chance at this point to kind of make it look a little bit better is to use something like a barkeeper's friend, and you can buy... This is my new favorite cleaning tool right now, is these nylon brushes that go on the end of a cordless drill. And there's a company called Drill Brush. A lot of hardware stores carry these. They come in different sizes, but they have a small one that is like a round disc that's, quite frankly, about the same size as the shoe of that drain that you want to get clean. And so if you put a little bit of the... if you put a little bit of the barkeeper's friend around there and were to scrub it with this, that's as good as it's going to get. You're not going to be able to get it any better than that. And the only way to kind of bring it back to life would be to either replace the top, or you could paint the top. But long term, that's not not the best solution.
No. Okay. Well, it's worth a try because we hate to replace it. Because
no. Understand.
Beautiful top, and it matches a
right. Try the barkeeper's friend and see how that does for you. I think that you may get it to look a little bit better from there. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
This is House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini.
He's a lean, mean, pneumatic machine.
All natural, safe, and effective.
Actually, we run him at 220, 221, to, whatever it takes.
Welcome back. 8:08 in the morning. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems, by ComEd, powering lives. and by AmericasBath.com. Ooh, cracking to the voice there. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I do want to remind you of this. Please plan to attend Misericordia's Family Fest on Sunday, September 8th. From 11 to 6 p.m., the highlights include a variety of food and drink, children's games, and live auction with many fabulous prizes. Misericordia is dedicated to providing extraordinary programs for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It's located at 6300 North Ridge Avenue. You'll get free parking available at SNC Electric, which is at the corner of Devon and Ridge Avenue. If you'd like more information, call 773-973-6300. Or visit misericordia.org for more information. I also have the pleasure and honor tomorrow to be emceeing a celebration to honor Sister Rosemary Connolly, who has been at the helm of Misericordia for 50 years. It's quite a milestone. She has been running this Rogers Park-based home for people with developmental and intellectual disabilities for 50 years. And this Sunday, we're going to honor her at a sold-out celebration that is also coinciding with celebrating Misericordia's 39th Family Fest. It's an amazing woman who has put together an amazing group of people that surround her. She'll be the first one to tell you that Misericordia exists because of the people and the volunteers and the so dedicated staff that's there. But this is a woman that came as she was 18 years old when she entered the Sisters of Mercy as a nun. And so that was 70 years ago that she's been doing this and doing God's work every single day. So it is my honor, along with my wife and my family, who are so dedicated to helping whatever we can with Ms. And she is an extraordinary woman, and looking forward to celebrating with her tomorrow. But don't forget to join us all for the Family Fest, which will be taking place September 8th from 11 to 6 p.m. at 6300 North Ridge. It's really a lot of fun. Hope to see you there. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Arlene is on the line. Hi, Arlene. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. It's so good. I love your show. I have a question. My husband, the windshield in my husband's car, we can't get it clean. We have used Windex, soap and water, straight vinegar, vinegar mixed with Windex. It smears.
On the inside of the glass?
On the inside of the glass.
All right, I want you to go buy a where do you live, Arlene?
In Bartlett.
All right, I want you to go to the hardware store.
Uh-huh. And we have an Ace.
Perfect. And ask them for a product called Bright and Clean.
B-R-I-T-E and Clean.
Bright and Clean. B-R-I-T-E and Clean.
Uh-huh.
It is a powder, and you're going to take a microfiber towel that you're going to get wet. You're going to get wet. You're going to sprinkle this on, and you're going to clean the inside of the glass with this Bright and Clean, and it's going to shine like the top of the...
Uh-huh.
Chrysler Building.
Chrysler Building. Bright and Clean at your local Ace Hardware, and it will work
out. Or the Aboye Building.
Huh?
Aboyer. I totally butchered that name, by the way.
Totally. And was the building shiny?
Huh?
Was it shiny? Was what it shiny?
Was it? No. And I don't know, but that... So, Arlene, I actually thought... I didn't think she had a question. That was Chef Michael's mommy.
Oh, you didn't tell me any of that.
I was trying to tell you in your ear.
Well, her son did a great job. He was terrific.
And it's called Aboye.
Aboye. You're so good with
Americans
the Frenchie. Right,
the
right. Try
language.
To say pomfrites. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Rosemary in Lakeview. Hi, Rosemary. You're on WGN.
Good morning. It's so nice to talk to you. And I need your help.
Yes, ma'am.
I had bought a... hold on a second. A garage door opener. And I had the people that I bought it from, Home Depot, gave us a name, and the guy came out. And from that point on, like 3 days after they put it in, it stopped working. The door would come down but it wouldn't go back up with the clickers or the push button on the wall. And I've been trying for weeks to get these people, and Home Depot has been so good trying to get these people out. And apparently when it says service, they don't service because it's too far into the city, apparently.
Okay, so hold on a second. Did you hire the installer through the Home Depot, or did you hire them separately?
No, through.
Okay, and so you have not paid for that service yet, correct?
Oh yes.
Oh, you have.
Oh yes.
Okay. Yes. And well, we need to get this. I mean, it's nice to hear that they've been very helpful, but we need to get these people back. Because how are you able to open the door to use the garage, or you're not?
Well, it's not. He has to use the string or something.
So you're doing it manually?
Yes.
Okay, so the door goes down, and do you happen to know the name brand of the opener?
Oh.
Is it Genie? Is it a Chamberlain?
No.
Not a Genie, not a Chamberlain.
Genie.
It is Genie. Okay. Okay. and so when the door goes down, but it won't go back up whether you push the button or
yes.
Or even any of the remotes.
Right.
Okay. Well, that doesn't make any sense because it shouldn't.
Yeah.
It shouldn't go one way and shouldn't go the other. Can I ask you to try something?
Sure.
Is anyone able to get up on a ladder to unplug the unit?
I believe my son did that yesterday.
And it had no bearing whatsoever.
No.
All right. There's some kind of sensor that's not connected right on the switches. I mean, you do have those two eye sensors, you know, by the doors.
Right. Right.
And those, when they're looking at each other, you should see green lights on both of them. But those actually should never, they should have no bearing on whether it goes up or not. They only have a bearing when it comes down.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
If some kid,
right.
Something falls in front of it.
Right. I'm not quite sure. You've paid for the service, and you said that, you know, Home Depot's been good about trying to get these people back.
Oh, yes.
I think that, if you know, what I would do, my advice to you would be this, is whomever the nice person is you're speaking with, say, I need to have this fixed by, and choose a date, Wednesday, okay? And if not, then you're going to ask for your money back on the installation fee. And then we're going to have...
They offered me that.
Okay, and then we have to get someone else...
I don't know about the installation, but I think they're giving me back the money for the door opener.
Well, I think that I would get the money back on the installation, too. That's the issue.
All right.
And so then I would contact Genie directly, because this is already installed. And they have technical help people that they may send out at no charge to see what's going on.
Okay.
Okay. But I would, at this point, I mean, look, one of the benefits of these, the using the services from these big boxes, is that when stuff doesn't go right, they're pretty good about getting you your money back so you can get this problem solved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, I know they offered me money yesterday.
Right. But I would get if there's a problem with the opener itself, I mean, whoever installed it, they obviously did something wrong or something's not upright. And so that installation fee should be returned as well, not just the cost of the unit itself. There's a problem with the installation. Someone needs to come and determine what's going on to try and fix this for you. But start with getting your money back, and then... You know, there's a bunch of garage door companies that you could call specifically to come out and get this fixed for you, but you want to get your money back so you can pay for it. That's the key. Rosemary, thank you so much for the phone call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
And now back to my dad, Lou Manfredini, on House Smarts Radio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thank you, Carmen. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mike is in West Chicago. Hey, Mike, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I'm repainting a storm door. It's got 8 glass panels in it. And the glazing compound that was used there was water putty. So it's real hard.
Yeah.
What is the best way to get that off?
We're trying to take it all off?
Yeah, I want to take the glass panes out, repaint the area where the panes fit in, you know, and reglaze it and everything.
How many windows?
8. They're each about a foot square.
Okay. A couple ways to go. I think what would probably be the fastest way for you to do this would be to purchase a multi-tool. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I have one. Yes.
Perfect. So buy a multi-purpose blade on that. Now, you're going to have to take it easy with this because, you know, and it's a wood frame door, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, that glass is sitting there hopefully with push pins. So you got a little bit of a gap between where the glass is and the frame. So as you dive in with that multi-tool blade, you just have to take it easy, probably not go all the way in until it loosens it, and you should be able to pop it off and then work your way around each one of them to get that glazing off of there.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And one other thing about that, too. I've been using a paint stripper that it's been working pretty well. I got it at Ace Hardware. I can't remember the name of it right now. But originally I was looking for methylene chloride, and apparently everybody's taking that off of their
shelves. Yeah. I have a really good paint stripper that might be hard for you to find, but it is amazing. I discovered it at the National Hardware Show. We even talked about it on the radio show here. It's a company called Dumond Paint Stripper, and they're using this right now to take the paint off of the Eiffel Tower. And what's amazing about this stuff, Mike, is it comes in a jar. It comes in different sizes. I mean, you can even get in a 55-gallon drum, which is probably what they're doing in Paris. But this, it almost looks like hand cream. You literally could put your hand in it all day long and it wouldn't bother you. But if you put this on a surface to remove paint, it reacts with the chemicals in the paint. You leave it there and it's like you're taking the butter off of a English muffin.
Oh, very good. I look for that.
Dumond.
Dumond. Right. One last thing too. Let's see what, just escaped my mind. Oh yeah. The glass panels. You know, they're regular, I guess, single pane glass.
Yep.
Should those be replaced with tempered glass?
Oh, sure. I mean that. Uh-huh. I mean the you would have to. So what you would have to do is get those. You'd have to measure them, get it cut, then they temper it, and then you put them in. 100%. I mean the tempered glass will be a little bit thicker. You know, you should have enough room for that with some new push pins. So, you know, if that's what you want to do, then you have to be less careful with that multi-tool. If you cracked a glass, you know, that wouldn't be a big deal. But you'd have to go to a glass house, place it cuts glass, give them all the sizes. They cut the glass. They send that out to be tempered. You install it, and you're done.
Yeah. There's a place in Wheaton, Carlson's, that probably
could. Sure. Yeah, it wouldn't be that. With those, I mean, it wouldn't be that expensive, and then you'd have the safety of having tempered glass that, if it broke, you know, would shatter into little bitty pieces instead of, you know, potentially
right.
Something dangerous if a hand goes through or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Thank you, Luke.
I appreciate you calling this morning, Mike. Thank you so much. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. This week, I got the scoop on the new trends Tom saw at the Kitchen and Bath Show. What caught my attention the most? New matte black hardware. Ever notice what a great accent color black is? It really makes every other color pop. And matte black is so cool. And a chic color that pairs well with any metal you might already have in your kitchen or bath. And changing out hardware is such an easy, affordable way to give cabinetry that updated look. Come check it out and everything else that's new at Builder Supply Outlet. Now back to your host, your go-to handyman, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Get a trumpet
speaker. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Oh, how does this happen? I haven't. It's news already.
I know you're very busy.
Maple keeps getting in the way here with these news. Maple, did you know you do the news every half an hour?
I did know that.
I got to get out of the way here. Hey, this report of news is sponsored by Dykstra Home Services. When we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about the Chicago River. And it has an effect for all of us, no matter where you live in Chicago. I think you'll find this conversation coming up pretty interesting.
You're listening to Lou. That's right, that Fix-It guy, right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN. Over the horizon, smooth sailing, he's counting the seas. Now she
headed east down the boulevard, Duval. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Before we get back to your phone calls, I'm excited to talk to our next guest who's joining us on the line. Dick Lannon is the former executive director of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, and he knows a thing or two about the drainage of the Chicagoland area, and he joins us on WGN. Dick, good morning. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Lou. Good morning to you. Good morning to all your listeners.
Yeah, thank you very much. I don't know. You may know this, but WGN Radio Studios moved, and we're right here at 303 East Wacker. And as the studio I'm standing in right now, I have the beautiful lake right behind me as I look out the window, and I see the river as it comes right through those locks into from the lake into the river. And we were chit-chatting about this a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was in last week, and I said, I really want to talk to somebody about this whole river reversal and what that means and meant to the city of Chicago. And part of it came, you may have seen this as well, there was a documentary that was on WTTW about the Eastland ship that, you know, capsized in the river
disaster,
right? And there was a terrific documentary that was on Channel 11 that I got to see, and I knew the story, but it was pretty well done and talked about, you know, back then how polluted and terrible the river was, when that occurred over 100 years ago. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about the engineering that goes into making the river flow another way.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me say something about the Eastland disaster. I happened to be part of that production. They asked me some questions about the river. And actually, in 1915, the Chicago River, where the Eastland disaster was docked, was pretty clean because they were bringing in lake water to dilute sewage and then letting it flow the other way towards the Mississippi River. So the
it had already been reversed?
Oh, yeah, by 1915. So let's talk about the reversal.
All right.
So the first question is, well, why? Why did we do this? Well, in the 1880s, Chicago was a very unhealthy place to live. There was a very high mortality due to waterborne communicable diseases like typhus. And the river, the city had built a sewer system, and all the sewers discharged into the river. And the river was very unsightly, and it smelled terribly. One more aggravating factor was that the Plains River, out in the western suburbs, is higher than Lake Michigan. And in the springtime, when the Des Plaines River would go into flood, it would overflow its banks. And so every year you had water from the Des Plaines River flowing down the Chicago River and out into the lake, flushing out whatever sewage was in the river to the lake. Well, that the idea came had been floating around about reversing the flow of the river, and the I&M Canal that had been built in and opened in 1848 was too small, didn't have the capacity to take the additional flow. So a plan was launched. The citizens got on the city's case. They hired an engineer. He came up with a plan to reverse the flow of the river. But the city didn't have the money to do it. They went to Springfield, and they got legislation to enable the creation of the Sanitary District of Chicago, which happened to be by referendum. And the vote and the referendum in November of 1889 was like 79,000 to 300. It was overwhelming. You know, everybody wanted to clean this mess up. So the sanitary district got themselves organized, and a construction of the canal started in 1892, and it took roughly 8 years. And by the turn of the century, 1900, the new channel was ready. Now, how could you do this? Well, I mentioned earlier that the Des Plaines River in the western suburbs was higher than Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down to Joliet, the Des Plaines River is 40 feet below Lake Michigan. So we know water flows downhill, so you just make the canal long enough, and your outlet is going to be lower than the lake. And that's what they did. They built a 28-mile canal from Bridgeport to Lockport. Lockport is a town just north of Joliet. But then they also had to improve the south branch of the river, because that was choked with bridges and narrowness in the channel. They also had to improve the Des Plaines River in Joliet because of the additional water that would be coming that way.
All right, let me stop you for a second, because I want to go back before all this happened. So before the reversal of the river, okay,
yes,
the water was flowing from the river into the lake, and if I followed that river at that point upstream, where was I connecting to? Was I connecting to the Mississippi River?
Oh, no. The Chicago River watershed, and incidentally the Calumet River watershed on the south side, they drained into Lake Michigan. That was part of the Great Lakes watershed that flowed on out to the Atlantic Ocean.
Got it.
So the Chicago River, you know, the headwaters are up in Lake County to the north.
Right.
It flowed down through the north side of the city, and there was a south branch also.
Right.
Headwaters was on the south side, and that flowed up into the downtown area and out into the lake.
So by reversing it, it wasn't that I was taking that water and heading north up there. It was you had to create these canals for the water to go somewhere.
Yes.
And it eventually now heads to the Mississippi. Is that correct?
I beg pardon?
Does it now? Where does it head now that we've reversed it?
Okay. The end of the canal, as I said, is down at Lockport.
Right.
And it flows into the Des Plaines River, goes through the city of Joliet, and into the Illinois River, and then down through the state of Illinois to the Mississippi River near Alton, Illinois. And then the Mississippi River heads south to the Gulf of Mexico.
Wow. Okay, now I'm gonna ask you a couple questions. So as I look at this lock system that's behind me, as I look out the window, is that ground zero that allows? Like, are we using the pressure and the height of the lake, along with all those improvements that you spoke of, to push that water in the reverse direction?
No, actually. The lock was not built until the 1938, and up until that time, the sanitary district was discharging a large amount of water from Lake Michigan to the Mississippi River to dilute the sewage.
Understood.
We didn't have sewage treatment technology in the early part of the 20th century. Sewage treatment plants were built in the 1920s. So initially, the idea was just to dilute the sewage and then let the natural process of flowing river purify itself.
Right.
So there was an open connection there until 1938. Why build a lock? Well, the Supreme Court said, Illinois, Chicago, you're taking too much water out of the lake. You got to cut it down. So the lock was built to create a positive separation between the river and the lake so that the river would not flow back into the lake if there was a storm or anything
like that.
All right. And so now today, the Corps of Engineers, which is in charge of the Inland Waterway Navigation System, has directed that the Chicago River level be kept below the level of Lake Michigan so that there, whenever there's a lock operation out there at the lakefront, the water comes in from the lake and goes out into the river. The river never flows back into the lake unless
a terrible storm.
One of these huge right. big storms where the river rises up and there's no other place to put the water except
now this
in the lake.
What occurred here back in the the turn of the between the 18 and the late 1800s, it doesn't happen anymore, right? Like this is this the only example of this in the United States where this has occurred?
The reversal of the flow of the Chicago and the Calumet River is the only reversal of rivers that I know of in the entire world.
Wow.
I mean, rivers are sometimes diverted, like out in the
sure.
Rocky Mountains.
Sure.
They divert water for Denver and so forth, but that's not reversing the flow of an entire river. Here
right.
in Chicago, we did it not only on the Chicago River, but also on the Calumet River.
And would you say that, because obviously this has a lot of environmental, I know that there was a lot of discussion early on where, like, the people, at the other end of this weren't really happy about this, but now with, well over 100 years of this, more than that, has it been successful? Have there been environmental issues, all in all that have been addressed and it's not, doesn't have an impact that's negative?
Oh, well, yes, indeed. First of all, the biggest positive benefit happened in 1900 when you stopped flowing your sewage into the lake.
Right.
And that improved the health of the city of Chicago.
Right.
And you also stopped these floods from the Des Plaines River because the outlet the other way was improved. After 1900, yes, downstate was not, they were not happy campers. You had, first of all, the additional flow was a benefit because the river didn't dry up in the summertime and you could float boats on the Illinois River and so forth.
Right.
But after about 10 years, all this sewage, it began to coat the river bottom and destroy the ecology of the Illinois River. And so that, even though they started building sewage treatment plants in the 1920s, they were not top performers like they are today.
Right.
So it took many, many years, and it wasn't until the Clean Water Act in the 1970s, making water quality standards more stringent, improved the treatment process, and the Illinois River began a slow recovery. So today, things are much better after the improvement of sewage treatment technology. Of course, you got other problems now that
sure.
have an impact on the Illinois River, but
Richard, I want to figure out a time when I can get together with you and sit down and have a beer and talk all about this, because for me this is super interesting, and I wish we had more time to talk about this, but that is such an interesting story. You spent a lot of years doing this as the former executive director, and are there places, there's a lot of resources where people, if they're more interested to learn more about this, that they could learn about the Chicago River, right?
Sure. Oh, sure. Well, you can go to the website of the Water Reclamation District, which is mwrd.org, and they tell a little of this history. I've written three books so far. I'm working on a fourth one about the history of the Sanitary District and its works, what it's built and so forth. And my first book deals specifically with the building of the Sanitary and Ship Canal to reverse the flow of the river.
And what's the name of that book?
The first book is called Building the Canal to Save Chicago. It was published in 2012, and it's in a lot of the local Chicago and suburban public libraries.
Oh, nice. I would have thought the name of that book would have been The River Runs the Wrong Way. But that's that was just me. That's what I would have called it. But Richard
runs the right way now.
Dick Lannan is the former executive director of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. Thank you for humoring me. Hopefully the audience found this interesting. I think it's really amazing to think that the only place in the world that we're aware of right now that ever reversed a river is the city of Chicago. And it's quite an amazing engineering feat. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Lou, and thank you for inviting me, and shout me out if you ever want to get together.
That's awesome. I love that. Boy, I could talk about that all day. Are we still on the air? You think that people are still listening? I think it's super. She's winding me up. It's super interesting. Come on, humor me.
I agree.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. I think the name of the book should have been The River Runs the Wrong Way or Right Way, depending on your opinion. I was getting dirty looks from my producer about how long that interview went because I found it to be so interesting. And literally, I could have talked to Mr. Lannan for like the rest of the morning. And then I start questioning myself, like, oh, maybe that went too long. I hope people, you know, like, because it's, you know, because I'm a fragile individual. My niece, Flannery. That Chicago River segment was pretty cool. She's 19. My friend Pete Bacucci said, hey, I want to go have drinks with that guy. Steve Bertrand said, fascinating interview. The book should be called, oh, and then he says, not for air. Why? The book should be called A River Runs Pooit. Oh, did he say not to put that on the air?
Hey, this is Quinn Manfredini, host of Deep Dish Sports Talk. You're listening to House Smarts Radio and my dad, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Kiki, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me.
Thank you, number one son. 312-981-7200 is our phone number.
Do you love me? Are you riding?
Here's Len in Janesville. Hey, Len, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hello. The question is sump pumps.
Yes, sir.
The house is 13 years old. It has a built-in sump pump system with a 1/3 horsepower Barracuda pump. I'm interested in your opinion about a 110, 12-volt combination primary and backup system. Recommendations, please.
Are you going to do it yourself?
Yes.
If you're going to buy a do-it-yourself system, the company Basement Watchdog has been around for a very long time. I think it's pretty good proven technology for DIY. Do you need a new primary as well?
I'm sorry?
Do you need a new primary pump as well?
I was thinking of getting a combination unit, and again, your opinion would be interesting.
Well, okay, so the Basement Watchdog system, they have one that they sell called, I think it's called the Big Dog or something like that. They sell a regular 120, 110 volt primary pump that gets plugged in, and then it's all set up with the secondary pump that runs off of a battery, and you just drop it in the hole. And that's pretty, you know, that unit, I think, with the battery and everything is going to cost you in the neighborhoods of anywhere from about $700 to $1,000 all in. Very easy to install. And your other alternative is to go with a system where you use an inverter, where you use a primary pump, and there's no battery backup. It's an inverter that you plug the pump into, and then that plugs into the wall. And that powers your primary. What that doesn't help you with is if the pump fails, there's no secondary pump. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And that's my concern because the basement has carpeting.
Yeah.
And we have not gotten water here.
Right.
And I want to maintain that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it yourself, then I think that, you know, the DIY version of you're in Janesville. There's a great Ace Hardware up there in Janesville. I've been to that store, and they, I'm sure, carry the Basement Watchdog up there. And look for their system, the Big Dog, I think it's called, where it's a combination system between primary and secondary. You got to get the battery and everything in there, but it's a really good quality pump that'll do a nice job for you. That's for sure. Thanks so much for the phone call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be right back. Try and get that cleaned up as best you can, and then carefully take the other four, pop, 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 all four in, and look at you. If you want,
I can get you a little side work as a flooring install.
Now back to your host. He's taking your calls right here, right now.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny, right? That's funny.
Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio. She was an
American girl. Welcome back. I was looking for the rejoin with the, your favorite jeans, and I can't remember what we called that one until they're not your favorite jeans. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Ace Hardware, by ChevyDriveChicago.com, and by my friends at Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You had something on your mind?
I do. We're getting all these texts from people saying how interesting the interview was, and I didn't get to speak. You didn't let me finish.
You were giving me dirty looks.
I am your producer,
and my job is to
keep you on track, and I was saying, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up.
Right, right. Everybody thinks she's so nice. She's not that nice.
I did not say that.
Lindsay is nice.
No, she's not. She is not. Do not give her anything like that. Listen, I had dinner with her and her husband last night. He admits it. She's not that nice. Oh, no. Did he say that out loud?
He didn't say that at all.
Oh, no, he said that to me in private.
No, he didn't.
No, it was interesting. Here's the thing. We are so lucky on this show to have so many listeners that listen every Saturday, and we are so lucky to have so many sponsors. And there's a lot of people we have to make happy on a Saturday morning. And so when I get behind, and it's me, like right now, what's really difficult, what no one knows, is there's a helicopter that keeps going up and down out the window, like doing some work on it. All I want to do is go over to the window and watch the helicopter. Mm-hmm. Like if I could get a really long mic cord, that's all I would do. And so there it goes. And so it's going up right now. I'm looking at it. It's just going up and down. It's like a boomerang thing.
Focus.
So when I get, look, Maple's looking at it too, right? Can you see it?
I sure am.
Yeah. So I mean, how cool is that, right?
What? It's super
cool. Like, who gets to see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about?
Wrap it up.
Right.
You should really take Jean in Northbrook. She is a lovely woman.
981-7200 is our phone number. Jean, I hear you're a lovely woman in Northbrook.
Well, thank you very much. I have dark stained wood floors, and I bought a little dog mat to put the dog's dishes on, and it is a rubber backing. And when I went to pick up the mat to wash it, some of the rubber matting stuck to the wood floor, and I don't know how to get it off. I don't want to ruin the floor.
Okay, I want you to spray that rubber matting with, or you don't have to spray it, but get some warm water.
Yeah.
Like on a rag or something, and just put, you know, kind of blot it up to get it wet. And then do you have a plastic spatula?
I do.
All right. Take the plastic spatula and just sort of, when it's nice and wet, scrape it and scrape it up, and it should come up no problem. How long has it been down there?
Oh, maybe 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it'll come up. It should come up no problem. And then you can just take a little sponge to kind of clean it up with a little... you know, dish soap or something like that, and it should be fine. And then maybe what we do is we need a different mat, because that rubber shouldn't be coming off.
Is it correct?
Yeah.
I won't use it.
Let's do use something else just so it doesn't ruin the floor. I mean, I like that you have it there, because if the dog is, you know, lapping up the water and it sits on that floor, it's going to be problematic for you, so don't do that.
Okay. Well, I won't. And I loved your show. That it was so interesting.
Right? Lindsay
Some of it I knew because I'm a history buff.
Right.
He was fascinating. Do it again.
See, what I thought was interesting for me, we didn't have enough time, but I always thought that it had something to do with the locks, where it was taking the pressure of the lake and then pushing it the other way. But it really is the engineering where they dredged it all out and made that canal. Like, who comes up with those ideas?
Well, pretty smart people.
Right. Like you, Jean.
Right. Thank you.
Bye. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Peggy in Sugar Grove. Hi, Peggy. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. I talked to you a couple weeks ago regarding my pipes in my wall banging, and I misunderstood a step, because we did what I thought you said, and it's still banging.
Didn't I tell you never to call back here again?
You did, but I just have to.
All right, so what did you do?
Okay, so we turned the water off. We opened up the valves and faucet, you know, and everything, and let it sit for probably about 30 minutes, and then turned the water back on.
Did you flush all the toilets, too?
Yes, we did.
All right. And we're still getting banging.
We're still banging, and I hate to tell you, but it's even worse.
Where is the banging? Can you localize where it's at?
Right, it's behind the toilet in the, you know, the master bath toilet.
Okay, just right there.
Yes.
Do it one more time.
Okay.
And so open everything up high and low. So do you have a basement?
No.
Okay, do you have an outdoor spigot?
Yes.
Open that one up too. We got to get whatever the lowest thing is, which probably is that outdoor spigot.
And, I wondered about that.
And so I want everything open so we get all the water out, and then we get air in the lines. Then I want you to close everything first.
Okay, so that's where I think I made the mistake. We did not close the everything before we turned the water back
correct,
on.
Correct, correct. Then you go take the aerators off and
yes.
And then, you know, to clean them all up, and then that banging should go away. And then once again, Peggy, never call here again.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
You know what it is. House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Matthew's in Villa Park. Hey, Matthew, you're on WGN. Good morning. I hear there's a good Ace Hardware store in that town.
There's a great one, Lou. I frequent it often, sir.
God bless you. How can I help you, sir? Hey, wait. Hold on a second. Oh, I got something for you just because he gave me a little plug. I'm sending you, sir, hang on when we're done talking, a Marconi Gourmet gift box. It's an assortment of Marconi giardiniera pasta sauces and salad dressings, one of Chicago's favorite traditions since 1898. Find them at marconi-foods.com. Marconi makes it better. I'm only going to tell you one thing. I saw the box. You're going to need to lift with your knees. They should actually put wheels on it. The box is so big. So hang on when we're done talking so Lindsay can get your information. How can I help you, sir?
Well, here, I'll quickly tell you the last thing I bought at your store. As I was checking out, you have the magnets there, and I got my wife the Happy Wife, Happy Life magnet.
Absolutely. That's a good one. The other one that I think we have there says, I don't need Google. My wife knows everything. Keep going.
Exactly. Well, Lou, I got a head scratcher here, sir. So over the past year, it was kind of a nightmare. We did a whole remodel, and we're in the house now, so everything's brand new. I had fired the builder, fired the initial plumber, but we're all moved in. But we have, in our bathroom, we have his and hers vanities. I guess who's got the bigger one, Lou?
Right.
But the water that comes out of those faucets is mildewy. It stinks and tastes terrible unless you run it. So initially I would think if it was an older house, maybe I'd change the flex tubes. But everything should be new. So I'm like, I'm going to call Lou first. I mean, we got a Navion
water heater. Yeah.
Everything's new, all new copper. So I don't know where to begin.
But it's just this faucet.
Yeah, it's just those two faucets. My kid's sink is fine upstairs. So this is the furthest one from the water tank.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
Hot or cold? Hot or cold? It's odor?
Yeah, so you know, you brush your teeth, you taste it. It tastes awful unless you let it run for a while.
Okay, let's try this as two tests. I want you to try first. I want you to take the aerator off completely and leave it off and use the faucet, you know, for a day like that and see if you're getting some reaction from the plastics with the water that's causing this issue. And the first thing you're going to start with is the aerator. Take that off and see if that improves it. If it does, go buy new aerators and install them. If it doesn't, the next thing I want you to do is, and it sounds like you've got some, you know, a little bit of plumbing to you. I want you to disconnect the water lines from the. Do you know if you have flex lines going from the stops going up, or is it solid copper, the feeds from the stops under the sink?
I've got flex lines on both sinks in there, yeah.
Okay, so to make your life a little easier, take the line off of the actual water stops, buy another flex line that you can use, because getting up underneath the sink and taking it off is a pain in the neck. But if you just disconnect it there, I want you to disconnect it, connect a new line to it, and pour that into a bucket, turn it on and off. If you don't get any odor from that, it's all in the faucet, and we probably need to swap out those faucets.
But there's the thing, those are all brand new. So that's, I mean, everything's brand new. So
right.
That's the head scratcher.
But are the faucets you have in the master different, either manufacturers or style, than the kids' bath?
Yes.
Okay.
They are different styles and manufacturers.
You're getting some reaction from the cartridge with the water quality that's there. It's not uncommon that this occurrence happens, but there's a good chance it's all in the aerator. And if you take that aerator off, I'm sure. So basically what happens is you run it, it goes away. You shut it off, sits there for a couple hours, you get some smell.
So is that, I'm just curious, would that be, you know, from the testing that's done, like whatever's in those lines kind of builds up in the aerator, and then since you haven't cleansed it or whatever, it's kind of still there? Is that what happens?
It could also be, let me ask you this, the spout of the vanity faucet, does it rise up?
Yeah.
So the spout, be holding water.
Okay.
So if you take the aerator off, this is another thing you could try too as a test. Take the aerator off. You can buy a little pipe cleaner, go into that hole into the spout, and see if you put that pipe cleaner in one shot and you pull it out and it comes out black. It's storing and it's making mildew and mold inside that spout, and that's where the odor's coming from.
Okay, and I guess if that's the case, do I have to swap out the faucets?
Swap out for a faucet that has something that, you know, a faucet that doesn't hold water, where it that the spout is either, you know, that the body of it's a little higher and then it actually drains out, or it's at the very least level, so it doesn't hold a ton of water.
No, that makes sense, Luke. Gosh, thanks so much.
You're welcome. I appreciate your call, Matthew. Hang on a second. Lindsay wants to get your information so we can send you out that giant box of jardinera from Marconi. Let's talk to Karen in Minnesota. Hey, Karen.
Hey. So you only allowed to ask one question?
Yeah.
I guess I listen. I have multiple questions.
Yeah. Well, you can ask more, but then you have to pay for it. But go ahead. Let's see how we go. I'm kidding.
All right. Well, you were at my brother's restaurant last night. Maybe he'll pay for me.
Oh, well, there you go. Look, we got the whole family here. I like that. How can I help you, Karen?
I know, right? All right. So my question is, we have hardwood oak floors, and my daughter uses a spray-on conditioner on her hair and sprays it in the hallway, and the floor is slick as ice. We have tried straight vinegar. We've tried vinegar and water. We've tried orange clean. We've tried multiple floor cleaners, and it still continues to be slippery as ice.
Well, and so then it makes no difference whatsoever?
No, it is slippery. People almost fall every time.
No. But in other words, anything you've and just in this area, like when you bypass the area where she uses this conditioner, it's not slippery?
No, it's only that area.
Okay. I want you to try and do you know your flooring, have any idea what the finish is on it? Is it a waterborne finish? Is it an oil-based finish?
That I don't know, because they were finished before we bought the house.
Okay. I want you to buy a product called Goo Gone, okay, which is a citrus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, I know what Goo Gone is.
Put that on a microfiber towel, spray it on there, get it nice and damp, and then with the grain over an area, I just want you to wipe it all up and then take another rag with a little warm water, even a little dish soap, to wipe that residue off. That should solve the problem. Now, the issue is, if your daughter keeps doing this, we got to come up with a better solution.
Well, we've stopped her from doing it.
Right.
It's, like, just there. Can't get it off.
Right. But how's her hair look?
Beautiful.
Oh, all right. Well, then everything's fine. All right.
Long, beautiful blonde hair, yeah.
Second question.
Okay, second question. Again, my daughter. We should just get rid of her, I think. she dropped a bottle of nail polish in the bathroom on tile floor, and we've used acetone, everything you'd use to get off nail polish. It will not come off the floor.
On the tile?
Tile, yes.
And it won't. The acetone won't break it apart?
Tile. No.
All right. Try the acetone again, and what I want you to do with it, though, is I want you to take... pour a little acetone into like a cup or something, and then use a small brush, even like an artist brush, paint it right over the top of the acetone and let it sit there. It starts to evaporate, right? Uh-huh. So you need to reapply it. and then use a plastic putty knife right over the top to scrape it all up, and then a Scotch-Brite pad to get it the rest of the way. But you have to remember that as you put the acetone on it, it evaporates, so you got to keep applying it. You know, like just with a little brush, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Plastic putty knife, scrape it away, and you're good to go.
Got it. Okay, third question. I promise it'll be quick, maybe. So, listen to the last caller. So, we have a Maytag washing machine, and I hear, like, a few years ago there was a recall or whatever on hoses. So every time we wash clothes, there's an awful, like, mildewy smell. I've cleaned out the washer tub with those special washer
cleaners
that you run through the washer.
Right, right.
We have replaced hoses multiple times. After about probably 3 to 4 weeks of washing clothes, it starts back up again.
Is it a front loader?
Yes.
Yeah. So that baffle, you know, that baffle in the front.
That rubber
in the front, right? at the base of it is where you're getting a lot of this odor, and this is problematic for they haven't solved this problem yet, and I don't know why. But if you reach in there and you pull that flap back a little bit, you're going to see a lot of mildew and mold where that kind of comes over and folds over the top of itself. What I would do there is I would take a product called Concrobium, which is a mold cleaner. Spray it all in there, let it sit there for a while, and then use a scrubbing brush, like a nylon brush, and really scrub that, right? And get all the way around. You'll see you can peel it back and get underneath it the dog that's got a lot of skin, you know, it's got all the layers. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
And you get underneath there and you clean it all up, spray it again, and then you know, as a matter of habit, you just you keep that door open when you're not using it, so it dries out. That's the key. Never close the front door on those front loaders. They just have not solved the problem yet. Thanks so much for the phone call, Karen. I appreciate you calling and listening to us all the way up there in Minnesota. We'll be right back, then we'll get to news right after this.
He's taking your calls till 10.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. Right next to the one that I just played. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Edwin is in Wisconsin. Hey, Edwin, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Frank Ferdini. How are you doing?
I'm good. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I'm trying to choose between vending or solid stain arbor coat, which I think is a better application. I have redwood and cedar, and I have a painter that says he's not going to do it unless I use Sherwin-Williams woodscape.
What are we painting? The siding on your home?
Yes, at home. It's either redwood or cedar. I don't know which one.
I'll tell you what. I mean, Benjamin Moore makes a really nice product, and the Arbor Coat initially had a little bits of some issues, but they've corrected it. But Sherwin-Williams makes a really good exterior product. And a lot of painters swear by it. It has been used on a bunch of buildings that I built over the years. And, I mean, I have no problem with either one of them. And, you know, I mean, I can line up just as many painters that'll tell you the Sherwin-Williams product on the exterior is better as I can line up the Ben Moore painters that'll tell you that one's better. So... Mm-hmm. I have no issue with you using the Sherwin-Williams product. Edwin, it's all about the preparation work that they're going to do. You know, if he's going to clean it and scrape it and sand it and get it all going,
yes.
I think you're going to have really good results.
Okay, either or is it okay with you?
Absolutely, sir.
That one is more superior than the other.
It's a roll of the dice, honest. It's a dealer's choice on that one.
All right, okay, great.
Both good. You got it. Good luck with the project. I appreciate you calling. Now we're going to go over to South Haven, where Jerry is calling in this morning. Hey, Jerry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. We're going to be remodeling our bathrooms, and currently both bathrooms vent to the attic, which I know is wrong. And with the remodels, we want to correct that. The bathrooms are on an outside wall, and I have an option where I could vent through a gable into the house or vent through the roof. And quite honestly, venting through the roof would be easier because the gable end of the house is on a slope and setting up ladders there would be kind of difficult. But if venting through the side would be the better option, that's what I'll do. So what's your opinion?
I was just, ironically, I was just up in Hartford, Wisconsin, which is the home of the Brone Newtone Company. And I was at their factory up there where they're making bath fans and kitchen ranges. And they make these roof jacks, these roof vents. Brone, I actually watched them come across the conveyor line as they were building them and then painting them. The key with ventilation is not only having a really good fan, like a Brone, but also the venting has to be right. And the shorter the venting run, the more efficient the fan. So if you've got a fan right there in the bathroom and you can kind of angle up and go right through there and have one of those roof vents put in there, you know, it can easily be retrofitted. It's one hole. And that would be my preferred method. The trick with this, though, what you have to be careful with, Jerry, is that depending on the location of the fan, the tip I've always given people is that I want you to, with the venting coming off the fan, you know, you're going to use like not a vinyl fan, but a vinyl hose, but a metal hose. I want it to run parallel with the ceiling about a couple feet or so, and then a slow angle going up. If you come off the fan,
I was concerned about condensation if I did go through the roof.
Right. Well, so if you do that flat area like I mentioned, and then you kind of angle up at a 45, and then you wrap that in insulation, okay? And you can buy, you know, you can buy that pipe insulation comes in a big yellow roll. You're just going to wrap that all the way around, so you temper that. And then the other thing is, you know, what everybody fails to do when it comes to exhaust fans is we don't leave them on long enough. And so when you're in there, especially in the wintertime, turn that bad boy on and then let it run. Now, you can even hedge your bet on that and install a humidistat switch, which Brone just came out with their own version of that as well. So when you turn it on, it senses the humidity in the space and won't turn the fan off until it gets to the desired set point. And that's an advantage to you as well, long term. But I'd go through the roof, vent it properly. Shorter vents are better. And then you don't have the issue of all that condensation. If you run a long thing going to the gable, if you're going more than 8 or 10 feet, that bath fan is spitting into the wind.
Okay, with that Brone humidistat, is that built into the unit, or is that a separate sensor?
They do have a fan where it's built in, but they also have a sensor that becomes your switch. So you just swap out you swap out the switch, you use the same fan.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it's a Brone humidistat switch that you can get. Go to their website, brone.com, and you can find all that information there.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much, Lou.
You got it. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Let's talk to Dave, who's in Crystal Lake. Dave, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Lou, I've got two entry doors that need replacing. They both rotted out at the bottom of the brick molding that surrounds the door on the outside.
Okay.
The water bounces up against that wood brick molding and has rotted them out. Actually, three doors. So one is a service door and a garage. But my question is, are there any doors that have like a plastic brick molding or something that will not rot out for continual exposure to the elements and, you know, the water going up? Well, and also, what is your favorite type of door? Is it metal, fiberglass, wood? Which kind of entry door do you prefer?
Okay. Is the jamb of the door in good shape? Is it just the brick molding that has been affected by this weather?
Yes, it is just the brick molding. I'm sure with a multi-tool I could cut it out and put a new piece of brick molding in there.
But the only reason I say that is they do make a synthetic brick mold that's made out of like Fipon or it's a plastic brick mold. It looks exactly like what you have right now.
Uh-huh.
and you can remove the entire piece. You can replace it, caulk it, put it in place, and you'll never repair it again, or replace it rather again.
Okay.
As far
as these doors are probably 10 years old. I think they need to be replaced, and
okay.
There's probably rot behind there. So,
right.
Thanks for that information.
Yeah, but as far as my favorite door on entry doors, I'm still a big fan of real thick wood doors because I think that the tactile side of that is, quite frankly, I think it's just the best. And the way to finish it, you know, that you get out of a wood door, you just don't get out of anything else. If you made me choose next, like, well, I really would like something that's a little bit lower maintenance or I don't have to do that, I'd probably tell you a fiberglass door because you get the same kind of look. It's a pretty heavy door. Metal doors for me are more like something I would use as a, you know, the man door on the side of a garage or something like that. And, And so that would be how I would probably go there if you were going to do that.
Would you have a preferred screen door to go over? These doors have been exposed to the weather without a screen door or, you know, a storm door.
Well, I mean, the name in screen doors is probably Larson. They make really good aluminum screen doors, full light, half lights. And a really good choice there. So I'd check out Larson if you'd like. Thanks so much for the phone call. Time now for Lou's last call. Thank you so much for listening. Lindsay for producing. Bob Ferguson pushing all the buttons. Joe Brand on sports. And Maple Walker doing news. Thank you so much for listening. This is Bob in Schaumburg. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Love your show. Thank you. I have a problem with my garbage disposal. Last night I came home and I tried to turn on the switch and nothing happened. So this morning I got up and I hit the reset button underneath it.
Yep.
And it still is like locked up. What are my options here?
When you hit the switch after you hit the reset, do you hear a little humming?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you happen to know if you have a disposal wrench stuck to the side of the cabinet anywhere?
I think I might have lost it.
All right. In the bottom of the disposal, there is a hole right in the center, and it's an Allen wrench
right.
That fits inside there.
Okay.
With the switch off, you're going to stick an Allen wrench up there, and you're going to turn it. It's probably something's wedged in there, and you're going to manually spin the wrench and spin the motor around, and then once that's free, pull the wrench out, hit the switch, and I think you'll be good to go.
Do you know what size the Allen wrench is?
I mean, it's probably somewhere around, it's probably a quarter inch. I mean, there is a specific wrench for it, but you can cheat a little bit. A flat blade screwdriver will fit up inside that hole, and you might be able to turn it just with a flat blade screwdriver.
All right, Lou, I'll try that.
Give it a shot. I appreciate you calling this morning and all of you listening. Quick break. I'll be right back. John Williams joining me in the studio. Good morning, sir.
B.
I got in trouble for that. Mm-hmm. I was driving around yesterday. You're doing commercials for this Dignity...
Chicago.
Dignity Chicago.
It's a network of funeral homes in the area.
Yeah. And you were talking about, one of the things you talked about is like, you know, let them plan like the kind of things that you want perhaps at your funeral.
Your life celebration.
Right. A couple years ago, Mary Beth and I, my lovely wife, who I love dearly and respect and love constantly, we're at a Misericordia event, the first look for charity at the auto show.
Right.
Which I was going to be the auctioneer there. And they have a little, you know, food thing set up. And there's a counter. And they have those, you know, those beef tenderloin sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. Those little sliders.
With the little sliders with the little bun.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And then there's a big bowl with a spoon of the horseradish sauce.
That's why we live.
And we're in line. And we're, you know, in line getting a little food there. And she says... serve all of this at my funeral. And I go, what? She goes, yeah, the horseradish sauce, it's really good.
It's to die for.
Right, with the little beef. And I go, I don't want to think about that. A, I don't want to be at your funeral.
Right.
Right? And
right.
So, but then now it's become a thing where the horseradish, oh, I got to remember that, you know, mom wants this at her thing. And I thought, that's an interesting topic. If you could, like, plan it, like, if you were going to plan that out, and obviously the fine people at Dignity will help you do that.
Yeah.
But hers was the horseradish sauce with the beef tenderloin and the small little bun.
And it's a funner conversation to have when you're not on an oxygen machine. Like, let's just kick it around. So what would be on yours? What would have
well,
to be yours?
Mine will be a drink. So, you know, for me, and I was at a celebration of someone's life as well, and they did this where this person loved Arnold Palmer's.
Right.
And we were at the thing, and they were passing around trays of that.
That's
mine
nice.
Would be Manhattan.
Sure it would.
Right? And an Arnold Palmer if you didn't want to have a Manhattan.
Yeah, but then wouldn't there be something else? Because I guess that would just be accoutrement, right? Like, it doesn't define Lou Manfredini, but I think of Lou, I don't think of Manhattans. It'd be on the list, but I think of helping people. I think of Misericordia. I think of your family. I think of...
Oh, we could have some cookies or something like that.
Shed,
sure, we could do any of that.
Cookies in the shape of saws, right. Maybe right. We would have on the side.
The thing that I really want to do is I have a nephew, Mikey, who plays the ukulele. And so my whole thing is I want, as they're they won't do this in a Catholic church, so we'll have to figure this out. When they're taking me out, I want everyone to have the words, and I want Mikey to play it on the ukulele, Tiny Bubbles.
You can't...
Yeah, Tiny Bubbles.
I can't do that in a Catholic church?
Well, no, you're not allowed, because it's not a liturgical song. But if everyone had the words to Tiny Bubbles, because there's a line in that song, because I'm going to love you till the end of time.
Well,
like,
yeah,
that's
sure.
It, right? And that's a great song.
Yeah.
When's the last time you heard Tiny Bubbles?
I would do it anyway, Lou. What are they going to do? Kick you out?
Right. What are they going to do? I'm already dead. Tiny Bubbles with my nephew Mikey playing it on the ukulele.
Your time's up, Mr. Fix-It.
Love you, John.
It's always a pleasure to see the Manfredinis.